We have it pretty easy in the water department at this moment in history. There are no buckets to pick up, no wells to visit. Just turn the tap and water comes out of the faucet. But it takes a bit of equipment to make it that easy for water users. October 23rd, governments and non-governmental organizations across the country will observe Imagine a Day Without Water. Sounds pretty simple. Just think about what you would do without water to drink or cook or wash or even flush the toilet. Okay, now it sounds a lot harder. So let's hear some thoughts on how to observe the day, which in the city of Ashland gets a whole week. We have three guests in the studio. Karelia Vereck is with the Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District, where she is Education and Outreach Coordinator. Karelia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We have with us Julie Smitherman once again from the City of Ashland, Water Conservation Specialist. Good to see you back in the studio. Thanks
Good
for joining us.
Good to see you. Thank you.
And Jennifer Aguayo was with us as well, also from the City of Ashland with the Parks and Recreation Department, where she is the North Mountain Park Nature Center Coordinator. Thank you for joining us, Jennifer.
Thank you.
So which organization actually got this started in the Rogue Valley? Was it the City of Ashland or was it you at Jackson Soil and Water Conservation?
Actually, it was lady named Frances O'Young. Mm-hmm. She works for Rogue Valley Sewer Services, and mm-hmm. she really started this whole thing and got us all together, coordinated all of our groups, and brought us together to partner on this very important message.
Frances has many skills. She's also a volunteer for JPR and has hosted the folk show
she
in the past.
Show.
So, okay, she's got a lot of stuff going on. So what is the basic point? Julie Smitherman, let's start there then. Then what's the idea behind Imagine a Day Without Water?
So the idea behind it is really to raise awareness about the value of water and why it's important to protect and preserve it. Oftentimes we don't think about where our water comes from. It just magically appears from our faucets, right? And while that's a big part of the value, not having to worry about where you're going to get your water and if it's going to turn on when you turn on the tap, there are other not so obvious things that add a lot of value, things such as acquiring water rights, having to store that water, to treat the water, and then distribute it through the miles of pipes that we have here in the city that's out of sight under our streets. Then we also have to maintain that infrastructure and ensure a reliable and sustainable system, not only for today but for the future. And so we often don't realize the true value of water until we don't have it. Whether it be due to the drought or the water shortages, or maybe just a pipe needs to be repaired in your neighborhood and you don't have water for some time, all of a sudden we realize just how much we depend on that water and all the things that we do using water every day, and that's when the value of water becomes clear.
In a city like Ashland, is it usually the case where the water infrastructure gets put in the ground and then sort of left there for decades upon decades without any particular renewal?
Well, we have pipe replacement programs, mm-hmm. and so we're actively working on our system and maintaining those areas and going back and making sure everything is working how it should be and efficiently. And like I said, yeah, there are miles of pipes, and so that's a big job for our distribution team.
Tell us about the approach then you're taking at the Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District, Karelia.
So Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District does a lot of work with private landowners, municipalities, and other organizations. And when we think about water, we often think about it as agricultural use, which, as Julie was just talking about, the infrastructure, sometimes that can get forgotten about. So your irrigation conveyance ditches, your sprinkler pipes. So just making sure that people really understand all the energy that's going into that through the irrigation districts, the folks that are working to make sure that water is managed and allocated properly and correctly, and really just making sure that people understand that water conservation isn't just in the home and in urban areas, it's in rural communities, it's vital for our economic production of agriculture in the valley.
This is not the first such Imagine a Day Without Water, is it?
It is not. So Imagine a Day Without Water was established in 2013, and it happens nationally throughout different organizations. I believe it is the first year that in Rogue Valley specifically, Jackson County and Josephine County, that we have been involved, again, thanks to Frances. But it's happening from Grants Pass all down South I-5 down here to Ashland. So.
Is it a harder year to make the case, given that the rainfall was actually pretty good this year, that people are not thinking in terms of drought?
I think in some ways it might be. You know, we always get really excited when we see rain and snow in October on the top of Grizzly Peak and Mount Ashland. But I also think the people that have been here long enough and kind of understand those climatic patterns understand that you can't just forget about water. It's always going to be there, whether you're worried about the E. coli levels in Bear Creek or Immigrant, whether you're worried about how much water is being used on hay fields or grape or hemp fields. So it's definitely always in our background.
Julie Smitherman, let me come back to you then, because you're constantly on the path to help people understand the importance of water conservation in an urban setting in the city of Ashland. And do people tend to let their hair out just a little bit on a year like this when there is more water?
They do. I think it helps people relax a little bit, but we still need to think about the future and think about steps we can take to make not only our own water infrastructure more sustainable, but to make sure that our practices at home are sustainable as well, and that everyone is doing what they can to use water as efficiently as possible, even in years without water shortages.
We were talking about Imagine a Day Without Water. It's October 23rd across the country. Ashland's extending that just a bit to October 22nd through 26th, primarily at the North Mountain Park Nature Center. We'll meet Jennifer Aguayo in just a second. You can join the conversation as we talk to Jennifer, Julie Smitherman from the City of Ashland, Water Conservation Specialist, and Karelia Ver-Eck, who's an Education and Outreach Coordinator at the Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District. 800-838-3760. Talk about water conservation where you are. Share some stories with us. Ask some questions. 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So Jennifer Aguayo, this is going to be a week worth of stuff, not just the single day, not just October 23rd.
It is. We felt like there was a lot of education that could happen, that we could put together. We have a lot of partners that we work with. I was really pleased to partner with Julie over at Water Conservation. We don't always cross in our job descriptions, but we really both feel passionately about making sure that people are aware and conscious about their connection to their water, not just in their watershed, but in turning on their tap and the systems that we have that need the money that we would put into them that come up at certain times, so whether we should invest in these things, that if you're not don't have the awareness of what it is that you're getting on a daily basis, then you don't have the, the motivation to support those things.
So back up a step, and for the folks who don't know North Mountain Park Nature Center, what's it generally about?
North Mountain Park Nature Center is actually a nice little natural. It's the only park in Ashland, actually, that's it's managed more of a wild sense to be friendly to wildlife. It's a small park, but we do a lot of education programs. We focus on sustainability. We focus on organic practices. We have pollinator gardens and a natural area that is just beautiful and is open from sunrise to sunset for visitors to come down any day. And we have a nature center where people can learn more about all sorts of things. And we put on a large number of classes, mostly devoted to everything nature-related and sustainability-related.
So what kinds of activities are you going to have over the course of the week that you're observing Imagine a Day Without Water, which I guess is Imagine 5 days without water?
Imagine many days without water. The original sort of challenge of Imagine a Day Without Water, one of the activities they do across the country is to stop and just not try to not use water for an entire day. I challenge you to try to do that for even half of a day. It is just so hard. And so we thought we'd expand that idea to think about where your water comes from and where does it go when you're done with it. So we'll have a class. For that, we'll have a tour of the water treatment plant in Reeder Reservoir. That one is actually already full. That was very popular. People would really like to see where their water comes from. And then a tour of the wastewater treatment plant to see where your water goes. Another day, we'll have an introduction to gray water systems if you want to recycle your water. We'll have a storm water management with Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District. We'll come out and teach about exactly what you can do to minimize your impact on the streams. And last, on Saturday, we'll have a class about rain catchment design and making your own water barrels and ways to catch rainwater.
I know in talking to people in years past about gray water and rainwater catchment, there are some local codes that sometimes get in the way. Is that an issue for Ashland, do you know?
No, it's really not, and it's not actually hard to understand those codes and to work with those codes. And I believe that the urban coordinator over at Jackson Soil and Water is a person who can. There's free advice that can be given to understand those things and do it properly. And then, of course, Julie has a lot of information about catchment systems.
Take it away, Julie.
Yeah, so one of the things, like Jen was saying, is that we help our customers with rainwater catchment. We also put on classes for gray water. We put on workshops a couple times throughout the year to teach people how to recycle their water. And so we do have a lot of resources, and we can help people work through the permitting process and understanding the codes that exist.
For the people who want to do the gray water thing and have the stuff that comes out of sinks, this is not toilets. So
not toilets,
sinks,
no.
Is it showers,
it's
too?
It's showers, mm-hmm. Normally bathroom faucets, and washing machines.
Mm-hmm. And where can that go?
That can go out to the landscape. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be diverted using a diverter valve, so you can also divert it back to the sewer system if needed during the winter months. But you divert it out to the landscape where it's distributed by a drip irrigation system. And usually you can get fruit trees. Fruit trees are good to water. Non-root vegetables are good also. Some raised garden beds are also pretty good for gray water use.
Any tanks required? I mean, as part of the infrastructure?
It depends on the type of system that you're building. So there's several tiers and levels that you can put together at your home, but that you go through DEQ for that permitting process.
We are talking about the things you can do to conserve water in a number of different ways with Imagine a Day Without Water coming up on October 23rd at North Mountain Park in Ashland. It'll go on October 22nd through 26th. We're talking to Jennifer Aguayo, who is the North Mountain Park Nature Center Coordinator. Julie Smitherman is the City of Ashland's Water Conservation Specialist. And Corellia Ver-Eck is the Education and Outreach Coordinator for the Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District. Questions, comments, ideas for ways to save water or to think about saving water even further. Join us on the exchange with your phone call at 800-838-3760 or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Corellia, take us back to square one. I mean, this is being called Imagine a Day Without Water. So, I mean, are we even talking about asking people to go half a day or more without water?
You know, I think that could be the ultimate the ultimate challenge, and maybe in future years it could become sort of a challenge. We make people take a pledge or something. We work with Rogue Valley Stream Smart, so it's a collaborative of multiple organizations throughout Jackson County. But, you know, I think it's just really important for people to think about all the ways we use water. It's that glass of wine you have after work. Mm-hmm. It's your shower. It's brushing your teeth. It's growing your backyard garden or your garden of pumpkins. You know, we're seeing pumpkin patches all lit up. Mm-hmm. So just really, I'd like to see it that way. And I do know on October 19th, which is Bear Creek Fall Fest, that's kind of going to be the day that we leap in to Imagine a Day Without Water Week. I will have a water drop at our table at Bear Creek Fall Fest, actually, that will ask people, how do you use water every day? Or imagine what it would be like not to have water, and filling up a water drop, just so we can see the diverse ways that everyone from little five-year-old to grandma coming with her kids to the park might think about water use. And I think you would be surprised to think about where people see the importance of water in their lives.
It's a fairly mindless process for most of us. I mean, we don't tend to think about it. We don't tend to imagine a day without water because we just can't imagine it in most cases.
Exactly, because it's so easy to turn on that spigot for your hose or twist the handle on your faucet. But for a lot of people in the world, it's a process of maybe walking miles every day to get even clean water, or water that you still have to boil and treat before you can even drink it or put it on your crops. So it's a really important I think, message to get people to understand that water is a valued resource and should be treated as such.
As somebody involved in water conservation, I mean, are we doing all the things we can potentially doing when you think, I mean, this is an area that you're coming from, Jackson County, where the rain falls about 20 inches a year in the heart of the valley. I mean, this is a good year because it's over 20 inches, usually around 18 or so. So, I mean, not a lot of rain falls over the course of a year. So are people generally pretty good at conserving, or could they be, is there still some low-hanging fruit, I guess is the question.
There is absolutely low-hanging fruit. One of the easiest things to do is switching your sprinkler time from midday to evening or early morning. That can prevent evaporative loss. It can prevent your plants from getting actually shocked because they're getting water on them in the hottest part of the day, and that water magnifies the heat. Another quick way in your house is when you're showering and you're soaping up, turn the water off while you're soaping up because you don't want that water to wash off while you're soaping up in the shower. That can save gallons of water. Really installing drip irrigation in your backyard garden rather than just putting a sprinkler on. That's going to target the water specifically to those plants, so you're not going to have it running off where it's not needed.
Less lawn. Let's have less lawn.
Yes.
Okay.
Less lawn.
Lawns are thirsty. They take a lot of water. I think you made a good point about drought. When drought comes in, everyone pays attention and they get concerned that there's not enough water in the streams, and we see the impacts directly. But really, with the increase in population in the Rogue Valley and in Southern Oregon, and the number of people, you know, the more lawns we have, those are just drinking up water that we really do. We really need that much lawn? Do we really need to continue to put in so much lawn when we could use that water elsewhere? That's a good question that people should ask themselves.
And that's why you see more people putting in the drought tolerant lawns with the drought tolerant landscaping.
Which is wonderful. Or just choosing landscaping that is a little bit more native plants, more drought tolerant plants as well.
Now, at North Mountain Park, obviously, there's some area you have to have in grass because you have things like baseball fields.
A huge area of grass. That's not my North Mountain Park. There is. We do have play fields, and there are. And this is actually one of the benefits that I love about parks, is that you don't have to have a lawn at home because there is a neighborhood park. And Ashland is so lucky this way to have so many walkable parks where you have as much lawn and it's concentrated in one area. And we do teach at North Mountain Park a number of, you know, we have demonstration gardens with drought-tolerant plants and some deer-resistant plants and offer classes on ways that people can conserve water in their yards really easily. Honestly.
Are people often surprised by how good-looking some of the drought-tolerant stuff can be? And I'm sure there's a fair number of people who probably come in and think, oh, boy, I don't want to have a whole garden of cactus or something. It's not like that at all, is it?
Fortunately, in Southern Oregon, it's really not like real xeriscaping. It's not, a lot of times ornamental grasses can be fantastic and so beautiful, and there are so many things like yarrow and sort of hybrids of native plants that really take some abuse and like it dry. Lavender loves it dry, and rosemary loves dry soil. So there's just so many things that are beautiful and fragrant and amazing and draw pollinators that just don't need that much water.
And if you're interested in finding out more about those types of plants, we have a website.
It's an amazing
ashlandsaveswater.org. You can go on there and you can look for all those plants that use less water and incorporate them into your landscape.
I'll make sure we link to that as well as to the other links we already have for this on our website. We're talking about water and water conservation. It is going to be Imagine a Day Without Water Day on October 23rd at North Mountain Park Nature Center in Ashland, October 22nd through the 26th. We're talking to Jennifer Aguayo with the North Mountain Park Nature Center. She's the coordinator. Julie Smitherman is the City of Ashland's water conservation specialist. Karelia Ver-Eck is with the Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District, where she's education and outreach coordinator. A couple minutes left if you'd like to join us with your phone calls and emails, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Julie Smitherman, when Karelia was talking about turning off the water, there are some shower setups that you could just kind of turn the get the cold and hot set where you want, but you could just turn it off while
updated,
you're on the way.
Updated technology has incorporated that device in the shower head where you can actually toggle it to make it flow less or shut it off completely. So devices like that, and we give those away at the city. So if someone is interested, they're welcome to come by 51 Winburn Way to pick up a free shower head. We also give away free aerators for bathroom faucets and for kitchen faucets. And then for outdoor use or indoor use, we give away a soil moisture meter. And that is to help you determine whether or not your plants actually need to be watered. Again, you just put the device in the soil and it registered right away.
Let's talk a little more about outside the house. And Karelia, you had mentioned something about stormwater management. What kinds of things can people do with that?
So stormwater management is incredibly important. Most people think that your storm drains are filtered at a water treatment plant, and they are not. So
they go straight to creeks, don't they?
They go straight to creeks. And so that means anything that they're picking up across your parking area, off your roof, through the street, oil, washing your cars, et cetera. So at home for stormwater management, the top let's say, three things that you could do. Number one, quit washing your car in streets. Even if you're using biodegradable soap, that's still added nutrients getting to the river. So go to car washes. They actually have water filtration systems. Second, you can get really pretty rain chains off of your gutters. Mm-hmm. And so the water will actually go into your lawn, your yard, your drought garden, and it'll actually infiltrate into the soil.
So no splash block, you're saying?
No splash block. Mm-hmm. Just let it go. Obviously, think about how close your eaves are to your house. You don't want to just completely soak your foundation. But, and then third, kind of adding on to Jen's comment about drought gardens, you can make what's called a rain garden. And so you can take all of the water that's coming off of your roof, funnel it through piping, make kind of a swale, which is a kind of a mini ecosystem in your yard, and you can plant a variety of plants that really like wet roots all the way up to drier roots. And that's a way to beautify your landscape, use less water, and help make sure that stormwater is infiltrating rather than just going straight to your surface waters.
As I look at the ways in which other parts of the country are observing Imagine a Day Without Water, there seems to be a lot of agencies involved with infrastructure behind all this, always a concern about making sure that the water gets to us where we need it. This is an issue in the city of Ashland right now. Have decisions been made about the construction of a new water treatment plant?
I believe we are moving on to the second phase, so we're going to finish the engineering of the new water treatment plant. We have some design completed already, but we are going to complete that design here in the next couple of months.
For the folks who think, well, I don't know if I can go a day without water or even think very hard about it, but what would be the biggest single thing any of you would recommend for people to do on October 23rd or through that week?
I think just reaching out and getting – trying to know your water system. Mm-hmm. Where does your water come from? How does it get to you? How is it treated? What's the process?
Yeah, the original source would be good to know, like Mount McLaughlin, Big Butte Springs from Medford.
Yeah, Big Butte Springs from Medford. We get it from the Ashland watershed. Mm-hmm. So any snow that hits Mount Ashland, any rain that hits Mount Ashland in that general area is coming and collected into Reeder Reservoir.
Okay. Quickly, other single things?
I think people can just take a look at one thing you can do in your life to be conservative and to be conscious and aware that what you do impacts everything. Mm-hmm. You play a part in it and you can make change.
Just appreciate that it is an amazing resource that you have water right at your fingertips, literally, and think about how you can help make sure that continues.
All right. Imagine a Day Without Water, October 23rd at the North Mountain Park Nature Center, October 22nd through 26th. Karelia Ver-Eck, Julie Smitherman, and Jennifer Aguayo, thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.